So now, This Happy Breed by Noel Coward. The stage play was first performed in London in 1943 and was then made into a film by David Lean the following year, starring Celia Johnson and Robert Newton. The play covers a 20-year period from June 1919, when the Gibbons family move into their new home near Clapham Common. It's a celebration of the stoicism, humour and resilience of ordinary working-class folk in the years between the wars. Our production stars Rosemary Leach and the late John Moffat, whom we've often heard as Poirot here on Radio 4 Extra. He passed away just a few weeks ago on the 10th of September at the age of 89.
This Happy Breed by Noel Coward, with John Moffat as Frank Gibbons, Rosemary Leach as Ethel, Doris Hare as Mrs. Flint, and Robert Lang as Bob Mitchell. The action of the play takes place in the dining room of No. 17 Sycamore Road, Clapham Common, in the years between the two world wars. It begins on a June evening in 1919. The Gibbons family have just moved in.
What is Frank doing, Ethel?
Putting out the curtains in the front bedroom.
He'll have the house down in a minute.
Well, they'd better go up before we go to bed tonight. We can't have the whole neighbourhood watching us undress, can we?
Nobody's thought to put any in my room. I suppose I don't matter.
Oh, do shut up, grumbling mother. Your room is at the back.
And I was thinking Mr. Watson's there next door. Happens to go out into the garden and looks up.
I don't know what is the matter with you today, Mother. Really, I don't. Moving in's no picnic anyhow, and it only makes things worse to keep complaining all the time.
Me complain? Oh, I like that, I must say. I've had a splitting headache ever since 2 o'clock, and I haven't so much as mentioned it.
Cheer up. You'll feel better when you've had a nice cup of tea.
If I ever have a nice cup of tea.
Well, the kettle's on, but Sylvia isn't back yet.
Oh, Sylvia.
She had to go to the UK stores, and that's quite a way.
She wouldn't have had to do that if she hadn't forgotten to get half the things you told her to order. That girl's getting sillier and sillier every breath she takes. Her and her anemia. I don't know how you and Frank put up with it, and that's a fact.
But I couldn't let my own sister-in-law live all by herself. Now, could I? Especially after all she's been through.
Oh, she's been through, indeed.
Look, I suppose you'd be saying that she wasn't engaged to Bertie and he wasn't killed and they lived happy ever after.
Sylvia hasn't been through no more than anyone else has. Not so much of the truth, but no. What she needs is a job of work.
She's too delicate. You know what the doctor said.
Oh, that doctor say anything. Look how he went on over Queenie's whooping cough, frightening us all to death. Isn't that the front door?
Yes, I gave Sylvia a key. She's probably lost it.
Perhaps she's been run over. And it's the police come to tell us.
Well, you've taken your time, Sylvia. I must go. Well, I'd like to see you any quicker with this lot to carry. Oh, my poor back.
It was your feet this afternoon.
Well, it's my back now, so there. What's that hammering?
Frank, he's putting up the curtains in the front bedroom.
I shall be glad when we're settled in and no mistake.
Here, Sil, go fix the food. There's a dear. Oh, I've got to get this room straight.
No peace for the wicked.
Mother, you might go and help her.
Oh.
Now, go on, Mother. You've sat there quite long enough.
Nah, it's all very fine for you. You're a young woman. Wait till you get to my age.
I just tacked them for the time being.
Supper will be ready soon.
You look tired. I've been doing too much.
A doctor's silly.
Me, you've been at it all day.
Well, what do you expect me to do? Sit down by the fire and read a nice book?
All right, Snappy. Oh, they haven't half left that garden in a mess. Wait till I get after it. Here, bit of luck about that May tree, isn't it?
I never noticed it.
You wouldn't.
Well, a fat lot of time I've had to stand around looking at May trees through the French windows. Do you like it?
Like what?
The house, silly. You haven't said a word.
Of course I like it.
Oh, I can't hardly believe it, you know, not really. It's all been so quick. You've been demobbed and coming home and getting the job through Mr. Paxton. Now here we are, moved in, all inside of 6 weeks.
Good old Baxter. We ought to drink his health.
We haven't got anything to drink it in except Sylvia's wink, aren't
we? Well, he'll have to take the will for the deed.
Oh.
What's up?
I don't know. I just can't get over not having that awful weight on my mind all the time.
How do you mean?
Oh, you know.
What, me perishing on a field of slaughter? Oh, what a chance.
There was a chance every minute of every day for 4 years, and don't you forget it. I used to feel sick every time the postman came.
Well, there's no sense in going on about it now. It's all over and done with.
Oh, we're lucky. It isn't so over and done with for some people. I mean, look at poor old Mrs. Worsley. I mean, 2 sons gone and her husband. And Mrs. Cross, with that boy she was so proud of, done in for life. Can't even feed himself properly. We're lucky, all right. We ought to be grateful.
Who to?
Now then.
All right, I won't start any arguments. You can say your prayers till kingdom come if you like, but you can't expect me to. Not after all I've seen. I don't hold with a God who just singles a few out to be nice to and lets all the others rot. He can get on with it for all I care.
Look, it's wrong to talk like that, Frank. It's blasphemy.
Sorry, old girl, I've got to talk the way I feel. Anyhow, I'm back, aren't I? That's a fact. Instead of lying out there dead in a shell hole, I'm sitting here alive in number 17 Sycamore Road, Clapham Common. That's another fact. It's nobody's fault, not mine, or yours, or God's, or anyone's. It's just happened like that.
You went to the war because it was your duty.
I went to the war because I wanted to.
Would you go again?
I expect so.
Well, I wouldn't let you, see? Not again. I'd rather kill you with my own hand.
Now, what's the use of upsetting yourself? There isn't going to be another war.
There'll always be wars as long as men are such fools as to want to go to them.
Look, let's stop talking about it, shall we? Everything's all right. You're here, I'm here, children are fine, except for Queenie's tonsils, and we got a home of our own at last. Everything's more than all right. It's wonderful.
Oh, Frank.
Poor old girl. Living 4 years with your mother can't have been all jam. I will say, I think I was better off in the trenches.
You ought to be ashamed saying such things.
Oh, well, yeah, your mother's all right, no way, but that house in Battersea, oh dear, gave me the willies after 5 weeks, let alone 4 years.
I must go and help her and Syl with the supper.
Yeah, wait. Let's have a look at you.
What for?
Well, just to see what's happened to your face. I don't seem to have had time for a really good look since I've been back.
Now stop it. Leave
no, me. Oh, still. Well, it's not a bad face as far as faces go, I will say.
Well, thanks very much, I'm sure.
Of course, it's not quite as young as it was when I married it. But still, taken by and large, I wouldn't change it. Now then.
Now then what?
Give us a kiss.
I'll do no such thing.
Why not, may I ask?
Because we haven't got no time for fooling about.
Oh, turning nasty, are we? We'll soon see about that.
Now, thank you, but...
Oh, just in time, or born in the vestry.
I hope I don't intrude. I live next door. Came through the garden to say my missus and I thought if you needed anything in the way of groceries or whatnot...
Well, I'll be damned.
Frank!
Mitchell. Bob Mitchell.
That's right.
Well, don't you remember me? Frank Gibbons, the Bob Spee Company, Festubert, 1915.
By oh, God, it's old Gibbo. Well,
you old son of a gun.
Well, my God, I thought you was dead as mutton after that night attack. When we'd gone on to Givenchy and left your lot in the mud.
Me, dead as mutton, I'm tougher than that. Only one small hole through my leg in 4 years. How did you make out?
Well, not so bad. Got gassed in 1917, but I'm all right now. Made me chest a bit weak, that's all.
It's a small world and no mistake.
Don't you think you'd better introduce me, Frank?
Oh, yeah, of course. This is my wife, Ethel, Bob Mitchell.
Pleased to meet you, Mrs. Gibbons.
It's a pleasure, I'm sure.
How long have you been here?
Over a year now. We took the house when I got my discharge in March 1918.
Ah.
I couldn't do any work for a while, but I had my pension, and Nora had a little put by. Now I'm doing fine, in the insurance business.
Oh.
Nora would have come herself, Mrs. Gibbons, but she's a bit under the weather this evening. You see, we're expecting a little stranger almost any day now.
Oh, her first.
Oh, no. We've got a boy of 14. Wants to be a sailor.
What a coincidence. After 4 bloody years.
Frank.
Now, well, if they weren't bloody enough, it was.
I'm afraid we haven't anything to offer you, Mr. Mitchell. You see, everything's upside down.
Well, you can stay and have whatever we're having.
No, thanks, all the same. I'll have to be getting back to Nora.
I'll go and fetch Sylvia's wincarnet.
Oh, dear.
Have you got a job yet?
Yes, I had a bit of luck. A chap called Baxter in my regiment. Before the war, he was running a sort of travel agency in Oxford Street. Well, he got a blighty one, was invalided at home, and believe it or not, he was the first one I ran into when I got back last April.
Oh.
He'd started his business again, things were beginning to pick up, so he gave me a job.
Travel agency? Phew.
Tours of the battlefields, oh, thank you.
Well, that's a good one.
Some people certainly do have queer ways of enjoying themselves.
You've got kids, haven't you? I remember you talking about them.
Yes, three. Two girls and a boy. They're with Ethel's aunt in Broadstairs. We didn't want them under our feet while we were moving in.
How old are they?
Well, Reg, that's the boy, he's 12. Queenie's 13, Vi's 14.
My Billy's getting old for 15.
Huh. Oh, it seems funny, this, doesn't it? When you think of the last time we had a jaw.
Here you are. Are you sure you won't stay and take potluck with us, Mr. Mitchell?
Thanks very much, Mrs. Gibbons, but I really must get back.
Well, will you ask your wife when it would be convenient for me to pop in and see her?
Any time. Any time at all.
Thank you very much, I'm sure. Good night.
Good night.
Here you are, Albert.
Thanks.
Tastes a bit funny, but it's better than nothing.
Happy days.
Happy days.
Six years have passed. It's Christmas afternoon, 1925.
I'll now propose a toast to the two strangers within our gates this Christmas day. Welcome, thrice welcome, Sam Leadbitter and Phyllis Blake.
Oh, thank you. You ought to have mentioned the lady first.
Sweeping aside the annoying interruptions of my sister, who has been far too bossy as usual, I will now call upon my old and valued friend, Sam Leadbitter, to say a few words. Come on, Sam. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, comrades.
Make up your mind.
Comrades, in thanking you for your kind hospitality on this festive day, I would like to say that it is both a pleasure and a privilege to be here. Though, as you know, holding the views I do, it's really against my principles to hobnob to any great extent with the bourgeoisie.
What's that? I think it means common in a nice way.
Order! I cannot but feel that today, what with being Christmas and one thing and another, it would be but right and proper to put aside all prejudice and class hatred.
Oh, very nice of you, I'm sure.
As you well know, there are millions and millions of homes in this country today where Christmas is naught but a mockery, where there is neither warmth, nor food, nor even the bare necessities of life, where little children, old before their time, huddle round a fireless grate.
Well, they'd be just as well off if they stayed in the middle of the room then, wouldn't they?
Shut up, Queenie.
That sort of remark, Queenie, springs from complacency, arrogance and a full stomach.
You leave my stomach out of it.
It is people like you, apathetic, unthinking, docile supporters of a capitalistic system, which is a disgrace to civilization, who are responsible for at least three quarters of the cruel suffering of the world. It doesn't matter to you that the greatest struggle for the betterment of mankind that has ever been in the history of the world is going on under your noses. Oh, no! You haven't even noticed it. You're too busy getting all weepy about Rudolph Valentino to spare any tears for the workers of the world whose whole lives are made hideous by oppression, injustice and capitalistic greed.
Don't get excited, Sam. Queenie didn't mean it.
I am not excited! Queenie doesn't mean anything to me, anyway.
Oh, pardon me all while I go and commit suicide.
But what she represents, what she symbolises, means a great deal. She is only one of the millions who, when the great day comes, will be swept out of existence like so much chaff on the wind.
Well, it's nice to know, isn't it?
I've said my say. Thank you very much.
Hear, hear. Bravo.
I don't know what you're saying bravo about, I'm sure. I think Sam's been very rude.
You don't understand, Queenie. If you did, you wouldn't have kept interrupting all the time and trying to be funny.
I suppose you understand all of it.
No, I don't, but I'm trying to.
I suppose we shall soon be having you standing up on a soapbox in Hyde Park and making a fathead of yourself.
Oh.
It's time we were clearing up. The boys can go into the front room. We left Mum and Dad and Granny alone quite long enough.
Come on, Sam. Go to my room for a minute and have a cigarette.
Better not let your father catch you.
I'm sorry if I was rude, Vi.
Doesn't matter, Sam. And you can't expect everybody in the world to feel just the same as you do, you know?
Sam's got more knowledge and intelligence than all of us put together.
If that's the case, it wouldn't do him any harm to remember it once in a while and not shout so much.
Oh, come on, Sam.
Right.
Can I help, Vi? Yes, Phil. You might put the preserved fruits in the sideboard cupboard. The sweets can go in there too, but leave one dish out to take into the front room. Sam got quite upset, didn't he?
He's a bit bolshy, that's all that's the matter with him.
I didn't understand either what he was talking about.
I don't expect he understood much of it himself.
Reg thinks he's wonderful.
Reg thinks anybody who can use a few long words is wonderful. He'll soon get over it.
It has been nice you letting me spend Christmas Day with you. I don't know what I'd have done all by myself in that house in Wandsworth with Auntie ill and everything.
Oh, good heavens, who's that?
I'll go.
Billy! What a surprise! I thought he was going back to your ship this morning.
No, not till tonight. Hello, Queenie.
Hello.
Better leave the window on the latch. Dad'll be over in a minute.
Okay. Do you know Miss Blake? Mr. Mitchell.
Pleased to meet you.
Oh, likewise.
Where's Reg?
Upstairs with Sam.
Oh, he's here, is he?
I'll say he is. I wonder you didn't hear him. He's been bellowing like a bull.
Down with the dirty capitalists.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know all that stuff by heart. We've got a couple of them in my ship. Not bad chaps, really, you know. Just got everything a bit cock-eyed, that's all.
It must be lovely being a sailor.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say lovely, exactly, but it's not bad, and you do get about. Join the Navy and see the world, you know.
Go on, you've never been further than South Sea.
Lots of time. Next year, I'll probably be sent to the China Station. Think of that.
The China Station sounds funny, doesn't it? Like as though it was on the underground.
Oh. We ought to go into the front room now. Mum will be wondering what's happened to us.
Be a sport and go on in, then. I want to talk to Queenie a minute.
Oh, so that's how it is it?
I don't know what you're talking about, I'm sure.
Come on, Phil. We know when we're not wanted.
Well, I don't see why we don't all go.
Oh, I want to talk to you a minute. I just said so, didn't I?
Come on, Phil.
Right. Well, maybe I don't want to talk to you.
Well, if you're going to be high and mighty about it, it's all right with me. I only thought that as I was going back on duty tonight...
Well, fancy asking Vi and Phil to go out and leave us alone. You ought to have known better. I shall never hear the last of it.
Oh, so that's what's worrying you, is it?
It's not worrying me at all. I just thought it sounded sort of silly, that's all.
I don't see what's so silly about it. Vi knows we went to the Majestic on Friday night, and she saw us with her own eyes walking down Elm Park Road on Sunday. She must guess there's something doing.
Well, if she does, she's wrong, so there. There isn't.
Here, half a minute. What's got into you, anyway? I haven't done anything wrong, have I?
I don't like being taken for granted. No girl does.
How do you mean, taken for granted? You can't hold hands with someone all through desert love and the next minute expect them to treat you like the Empress of Russia.
Oh, don't talk so silly.
Aren't you going to kiss me goodbye? Oh, look here, Queenie. If you think I ought to have said that about wanting to talk to you alone in front of Vi, I'm sorry, see? I can't say more than that. Now, can I?
No, I suppose not.
Well, then?
Oh, all right.
I do love you, Queenie. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
I wouldn't do anything to upset you. You know that, don't you?
Oh, Billy. I wish you weren't going back so soon.
Will you write to me every now and again? Even if it's only a postcard?
If you'll write to me.
Oh, that's easy. Promise?
Yes. Cross my heart.
You're the sweetest girl I ever met in all my life, or ever will meet, either.
Oh, that's easy to say, but how do you know?
Oh, never you mind. It's true. A little later on, when I'm earning a bit more, do you think we might have a shot at getting married?
Oh, Bill, how do I know? You might be in China or anywhere.
You might have forgotten all about me by then.
Oh, more likely to be the other way round. Pretty kid like you, working at being a manicurist, talking to all sorts of different fellas all day long. Oh.
It isn't all jam being a sailor's wife, is it?
I wouldn't be so bad. If I get my promotion and get on. Don't say anything now. Just think it over.
Oh, Billy, I wouldn't be the right sort of wife for you. Really, I wouldn't. I want too much.
How do you mean?
I know it sounds silly, but I'm not like Vi. She's a quiet one. I'm different. Mum sometimes says that all I think of is having a good time, but it isn't only that.
Well, I don't see no harm in wanting to have a good time. That's what everybody wants in one way or another.
I'll tell you something awful. I hate living here. I hate living in a house that's exactly like hundreds of other houses. I hate coming home from work in the tube. I hate washing up and listening to Aunt Sylvia keeping on about how ill she is all the time. And what's more, I know why I hate it too. It's because it's all so common. There. I expect you'll think I'm getting above myself, and I wouldn't blame you. Maybe I am. But I can't help it. That's why I don't think I'd be a good wife for you. However much I loved you. And I do. I really do. Oh, Billy.
Come on now. Cheer up. You don't want to have red eyes on Christmas Day, do you?
I'm sorry, Bill. Please, forgive me.
Well, Billy, what are you doing here all by yourself?
I've been talking to Queenie.
Was that her rushing upstairs just now?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
I just popped in to say goodbye.
Well, a bit miserable having to go back to work on Christmas night, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. It's all right once you're there. Mr. Gibbons?
Yes, son?
If in 2 or 3 years' time, when I've worked my way up a bit, Queenie and me got married, would you mind?
If Queenie wanted to, it wouldn't matter whether I minded or not. She'd get her own way. She always does.
She's certainly got a will of her own, all right.
And what does she think about it?
Well, that's the trouble. I think she thinks that being a sailor's wife might be rather hard going.
She likes having a good time, our Queenie. But maybe she'll calm down later on. Here's hoping, anyhow.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Gibbons. I think I'll be getting along now. Mother always gets a bit depressed on my last day of leave.
How is she?
As well as can be expected.
No.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Gibbons.
Good luck.
Frank, you are awful creeping out like that. You knew Sylvia was waiting to sing.
And what about you?
I came to find you.
No, yes, we know all about that.
Do you want the light on?
No, it's all right like this. Is Reg in there?
Yes, he came in a minute ago with that Sam Leadbitter.
What's the betting they've been smoking themselves silly up in Reg's room?
Well, it is Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't think much of that Sam Leadbitter taken all round. Seems a bit soft to me.
I wouldn't call him soft, exactly.
Well, you know what I mean. All that talking big. He'll get himself into trouble one of these days, you mark my words.
No, he'll grow out of it. I used to shoot me neck off to beat the band when I was his age.
Oh, not like he does, though. And all that stuff about world revolution and the great day and down with everything. You had more sense than that. Anyhow, I wouldn't mind so much if it wasn't for Reg taking every word he says as gospel.
No, I shouldn't say a word if I was you. Let them get it out of their systems.
It is wrong, isn't it? All that bullshit business.
Oh, there's something to be said for it. There's always something to be said for everything. And where they go wrong is trying to get things done too quickly. We don't like doing things quickly in this country. It's like gardening. Someone once said we was a nation of gardeners, and they weren't far wrong. We're used to planting things, watching them grow, looking out for changes in the weather.
Oh, you and your gardening.
Oh, well, it's true.
And I think what a mess it'd be if all the flowers and vegetables and crops came popping up all in a minute. Well, that's what all these social reformers are trying to do. Try to alter the way of things all at once. Now, what works in other countries won't work in this one. We've got our own way of settling things. Maybe slow, maybe a bit dull, but it suits us all right, and it always will.
Oh, we ought to go back, really. It'll be tea time in a minute.
It's cosy in here.
Well, it's getting quite dark, isn't it?
Five months pass. It is a late evening in May, the year 1926.
Dad ought to be home soon. It's getting over 11.
You're going to wait up for him, Mum?
Yes, I'm all right.
It feels sort of flat now, doesn't it? It's all been over, I mean.
It's wicked. That's what it is, downright wicked. Those strikers upset in the old country like this.
I wish Reg had come home. I wish I knew where he was.
I'll give that Sam Leadbitter a piece of my mind when I see him. Encouraging Reg to make a fool of himself. I was talking to Mr. Rogers only a couple of weeks ago. His brother works up north, you know, and he said that conditions were something terrible.
Oh, you and your Mr. Rogers.
He's been very kind to me and I like him so there.
You give me a pain, Sylvia. Really, you do, the way you keep on about that man. Just because he pays you a few shillings for designing those Christmas cards and calendars. You're doing nothing more or less than throwing yourself at his head.
Mrs. Flint, how can you?
Oh, do shut up, you two. I've got enough to think about without listening to you two snapping at each other.
I'm sure I haven't said anything.
Oh, yes, you have. You're always giving Sylvia sly digs about Mr. Rogers. If he's taken a fancy to her, so much the better. She's old enough to look after herself, heavens knows. And if he'd murdered his wife and strangled his children and run off to Australia with her, it still wouldn't be anything to do with you, so shut up.
Oh, help me up. Help me up. I am not going to stay here and be insulted by my own daughter.
You're not being insulted by anyone. Be quiet.
It's all my fault. I'm in the way in this house. I always have been.
It's a pity you stayed so long then, isn't it?
Oh, Ethel, how can you? I'll leave tomorrow. I'll never set foot in this house again.
And a good job,
too. Oh, my aunt, Sylvia, your mother didn't mean it. She's nervy tonight. We all are.
Thank you, how nervy she is. If only I had my health and strength, I'm sure I wouldn't have to be beholden to anybody.
Health and strength, indeed. You're as strong as a cardinal.
Take your grandmother up to bed, Vi, for God's sake.
Come on, Granny, come on.
It's all right, it's all right.
Oh, that's right, blame me. Everything's always my fault.
No, I'm an old woman, and the sooner I'm dead, the better. Oh, I know you're all waiting to see me in the
country. Don't talk to silly, Granny. Come on.
Have another cup of tea, Mum. It'll buck you up.
Oh, no, I'm all right. Oh, you slip along up to bed. There's a good girl.
No, I'd rather wait till Dad comes.
Would you like me to wait up for Frank, Ethel, and you go to bed?
No, thanks, Sylvia. I couldn't sleep anyway.
Oh, I've been sleeping terribly badly lately, what with all the upset and the heat of everything. Dr. Morgan gave me some tablets, but I'm afraid they're not much good. I'll take two tonight just to see what happens.
I shouldn't overdo it if I was you.
They're quite harmless. Good night, Ethel. Good night, Queenie.
Good night, Aunt Sylvia. Sleep well. Poor Sylvia. She's a bit of a trial sometimes.
I don't know how you stand her, Mum.
Well, if it hadn't been for Bertie getting killed, she'd have been all right, I expect.
How awful to be so dependent on a man living or dying that he could ruin your whole life. I don't think I ever would be.
Well, don't be too sure. If your dad had gone, I wouldn't have been the woman I am today.
No, but you wouldn't have gone on moping about it always, though, would you?
I don't rightly know. My heart would have broke. And I suppose I should have had to put it together again as best I could.
Oh, Mum.
What is it?
You do make me feel awful sometimes.
Oh, good heavens, child. Why?
Oh, you just do.
Heard from Billy since he went?
Oh, yeah. Just a postcard with a camel on it.
Camel?
Yeah, his ship stopped somewhere where there was camels, and so he sent me a picture of one.
His poor mother misses him something dreadful. We all miss him, really. don't we? Yeah. I suppose we do.
Well, there's a bell.
Yeah, it's all right, I'll go.
I'll get it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hello,
Till. Hello, boy. Oh. Please forgive me for calling so late, Mrs. Gibbons.
All right,
but I just popped over on my bike to see if Richard come back yet.
Yeah, well, he hasn't. Dad's not back either, but he's due any minute. Him and Mr. Mitchell next door have been driving a bus.
Both of them?
Mr. Mitchell's a conductor.
Have you heard from Reg, Mrs. Gibbons?
No, I'm afraid not, dear. He's off somewhere with Sam Ledbetter and those men at that club they belong to.
I went to Sam's bookshop in the Tottenham Court Road 2 days ago. Day Reg had a row with Dad and slammed out and said he wasn't coming back. And Sam said he was all right, but he promised not to tell where he was until the strike was over.
He'll be all right, Mrs. Gibbons. Don't you worry.
I can't help it, I'm afraid. You read in those nasty bits of newspaper they hand around about there being riots and people being arrested and houses being burnt down. Down and soldiers charging the crowds and all
believe what you read in the paper.
If you ask me, I shouldn't think he's been doing anything at all but run round the streets hollering. That's all any of them seem to do.
I wish he'd come back, whatever he's been doing. I wish your dad hadn't gone on at him like that. I shan't have a moment's peace till I know he's safe. What on earth?
Hold on,
noise, Frank. You'll wake up the whole street.
Who cares? We have come unscathed, my friend and I, through untold perils, and you grumble about a bit of noise.
You come unscathed through a few public houses, too, or I'm no judge. You better go and wash while I dish up your supper.
Have a drink, Bob.
You have had quite enough to drink, Frank, and well you know it.
Better not, old man. Ethel's right. The women are always right. That's why we cherish them, isn't it, Queenie?
And you'd better cherish yourself next door, Bob Mitchell. Nora will be having one of her upsets if she's got something hot ready for you and you're not there to eat it.
Yeah, all right, all right. I thought I'd just deliver your old man safe and sound into your loving arms. Toodaloo, everybody.
Here, Queenie, run into the kitchen and make your dad a bit of toast.
Oh, all right, Mum.
I'll give you a hand.
I'll get you soup. Mother, you say you're tired. Thanks, love.
Mr. Gibbons and Mr. Mitchell were in the war together, weren't they?
Yes, and to hear them talk, you'd think they were the only two that was.
Oh, I'll go, Mrs. Gibbons. Oh,
hello, Sam.
Oh, Reg.
Just get him inside. This way, old Sam.
Reg. Oh, your head. What's happened?
He's all right, Mrs. Gibbons.
Here, Reg. You sit down here, dear.
Don't fuss, Mother. I'm all right.
There was some trouble in the Whitechapel Road and he got hit by a stone. That was yesterday.
What was he doing in the Whitechapel Road, yesterday or any other time?
What are you doing here, Phil?
I came over to find out where you were.
I see. Thanks.
I've been worrying my heart out about you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Hello, what's up?
It's Reg. He's been hurt.
It's nothing serious. I took him to the hospital last night. The doctor said it was only a graze.
This is all your fault, Sam.
Now, shut up a minute, Vi. You feel all right, son?
Of course I feel all right.
Don't go for him tonight, Frank. He looks worn out.
I'm not going for anybody. I want my supper.
Here's your suit, Dad.
Top.
I think I'll be getting along now.
Not till you've heard what I've got to say, you're not.
Oh, shut up, Vi. What's it got to do with you?
It's all very fine for you to say that nothing serious has happened, Sam, but I should like to remark here and now that it's small thanks to you that it hasn't. Reg thinks you're wonderful, but I don't think you're wonderful. I'd think more of you if you did a bit more and talked a bit less. And the next time you come here on a Sunday evening and start pawing me about and saying that love's the most glorious thing in the world for rich and poor alike, you'll get such a smack in the face that'll make you wish you'd never been born. You get out of this house once and for all, and don't you show your nose in it again till you've changed your way of thinking. Go on, get out. I don't ever want to see you again as long as I live.
Well, if that's what you want. Good night, all.
Oh, dear. I'd better go after.
No, much better leave her alone.
I think I'd better be getting back now, Mrs. Gibbons. I hope your head will be better in the morning, Reg.
Thanks for coming round. See you tomorrow.
Oh, all right. Good night, all.
Good night, Phil.
Good night.
It's time we was all in bed. Go on up, Ethel. I'll turn out.
Well, you promise me you won't be hard on him tonight, Frank. He looks as white as a sheet.
I feel fine, Mum. Don't worry about me.
And come in and say good night to me on your way to bed, Reg.
All right. Well, Dad, let's have it and get it over with.
Easier said than done, isn't it? You and me don't quite see things the same way, do we?
I know you think all the things I believe in are wrong.
No, that's where you make a mistake, son. I don't think any such thing. You've got a right to your opinions the same as I've got a right to mine.
The only thing that worries me is that you should get it into your head that all these ideas you've picked up from Sam and Sam's friends are new. They're not new. They're as old as the hills. Anybody with any sense has always known about the injustice of some people having a lot and other people having nothing at all. But where I think you go wrong is to blame it all on systems and governments. Now, you've got to go deeper than that to find out the cause of most of the troubles of this world. And when you've had a good look, you'll see, likely as not, that good old human nature's at the bottom of the whole thing.
If everybody had the same chance as everybody else, human nature would be better, wouldn't it?
Well, it doesn't seem as though we were ever going to find that out, does it? Looks like a bit of a deadlock to me.
As long as we go on admitting that, the workers of the world will go on being ground down and the capitalists will go on fattening on their blood and sweat.
Oh, don't start all that now. Let's use our own words, not other people's.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, come off it, Reg. Kid of your age talking about blood and sweat and capitalism. When I was rising 20, I had a damn sight more cheerful things to think about than that, I can tell you.
Old people always think that all young people want to do is to enjoy themselves.
Now, don't you sit there and tell me you haven't been enjoying yourself tip-top these last few days, running about the streets and throwing stones and yelling your head off.
It's no use talking, Dad. You don't understand it. You never will.
No, you're quite right. Arguing never got anybody anywhere. I'll just give you one bit of advice, and then we'll call it a day.
What is it?
It's this, son. I belong to a generation of men, most of which aren't here anymore. And we all did the same thing for the same reason, no matter what we thought about politics. Now, all that's over, and we're all going on as best we can, as though nothing had happened. But as a matter of fact, several things did happen. And one of them was that the country suddenly got tired. It's tired now. But the old girl's got stamina. And don't you make any mistake about it. And it's up to us ordinary people to keep things steady. And that's your job, my son, and just you remember it.
Yes, Dad.
And the next time you slam out of the house without a word and never let your mother know where you are and worry her to death, I'll lather the living daylight out of you. Right, now cut along upstairs and get a bit of sleep.
All right, Dad.
And don't forget to go in and say goodnight to your mum.
All right, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
Five years pass. It is 10 o'clock on an October morning in 1931.
Well, we've got a nice day for it.
Oh, morning, Bob. What a cup of tea?
No, thanks.
How's Nora?
A bit more cheerful. She always is when Billy's home. It was that last miscarriage 6 years ago that did her in, you know. She'd probably have been all right if it hadn't been for that.
Poor old Nora.
Well, this is a nice conversation for us to be having on a wedding day, I will say. How's the happy bridegroom?
Well, the happy bridegroom locked himself in the bathroom for nearly an hour this morning. You'd think he hadn't washed for a month.
Natural anxiety, old man. Can't blame him.
Funny to think of him starting off on a honeymoon, isn't it? Seems a hell of a long time ago since we did.
Ridge is doing all right now, isn't he?
Yes, he's got his rise. He's assistant clerk to one of the managers.
No more of that bullshit nonsense.
Oh, no. He's got quite a lot of horse sense, you know, underneath. He had a nice look at the Labour government, saw what a mess they were making of everything. You should have heard him the other night when the election results came through, jumping up and down like a jack-in-the-box he was. Oh, no, he's Britain forever now, all right.
Well, that's good news.
And Sam shook him up a bit too, you know, giving up that old bombshell bookshop of his and marrying Vi and settling down. Oh, yes, we've all gone back to being the backbone of the empire.
Dad?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello, Uncle Bob.
Hello, Mitch. Feeling nervous?
My legs feel a bit funny. Is Billy nearly ready?
Yes, and he's got the ring all right, too. I saw him put it in his pocket myself. He'll be here in a minute.
Good.
I'd better be getting along now and get myself spruced up.
Yeah, right, Dad.
See you at the church, Ridge.
Yeah, see you.
Well, Sam.
Well, Dad.
Suppose I ought to be giving you a few bits of fatherly advice, am I right?
What about that?
Well, there's the facts of life, for instance.
I could probably tell you a few things about them.
Yes, I bet you could at that. Reg.
Yeah, Dad?
Would you say, you know, taken by and large, that you've been a good boy on the whole since you've grown up?
Well, that made bits of fun every now and again.
Well, marriage is a little different, you know, from just having a bit of fun.
Yeah, I expect it is.
Women aren't all the same by any manner of means. Some of them don't care what happens so long as they have a good time. Marriage isn't important to them beyond having the ring and being called Mrs. Whatever it is. But your mother wasn't that sort. And I don't think Phyllis is either. She's a nice girl and she loves you a lot.
I know, Dad.
And when a woman loves you that much, she's liable to be a bit oversensitive, you know? It's as well to remember that.
I'll remember, Dad.
Just go carefully with her. Be gentle. You've got a long time to be together. All your lives, I hope. It's worthwhile to go easy and get to know each other gradual. And if later on, a long time later on, you ever get yourself caught up with someone else, well, just see to it that Phyllis doesn't get hurt by it. Put your wife first, always. Lots of little things can happen on the side without doing much harm, providing you don't make a fool of yourself and you keep quiet about it. But anything that's liable to bust up your home and your life with your wife and children is not worth it. Just remember that and you won't go far wrong.
All right, Dad. Thanks.
Yeah, good lad. Well, I'd better be getting myself dressed up.
All ready for the ball and chain?
You're too bloody cheerful by half.
Oh, of course I am. I'm a sailor, aren't I? All sailors are bright and breezy. It's in the regulations.
I'd better go and get my coat. We'll have to be starting in a minute.
Righto.
Oh, why can't you look where you're going? You nearly knocked me down.
Sorry, old girl.
Oh, it's you.
Yes.
Well, it's a nice day anyhow, isn't it?
Fine.
I'm awfully sorry about last night, Billy. Really, I am.
I'm only to be sorry. It's not your fault.
When you've gone back, they'll all be asking me questions. I don't know what to say.
Tell them the truth. I love you and asked you to marry me. You don't love me and said no. It's simple enough.
It sounds horrid when you say it like that.
There's no use pretending, is there?
No, I suppose there isn't. I'm sorry, though, all the same.
There's someone else, isn't there?
I don't know what you mean.
You're in love with someone else.
It's no business of yours if I am.
Why couldn't you have told me last night? Or a long time ago? Don't you trust me?
You haven't got any right to ask me things like that.
Oh, listen here, Queenie. You've been the only girl I've cared a damn about for getting on 7 years now. We haven't seen much of each other on account of me being away at sea, but you've known all the time that I was thinking of you and hoping that as the years went by, you'd grow out of some of your highfalutin ideas and think me good enough to be your husband. All that gives me the right to ask you anything I like. Is there someone else or isn't there?
Yes, there is, if you must know. So there.
Are you going to marry him?
If you say a word about this to anyone, I'll never speak to you as long as I live.
Are you going to marry him?
No.
Why not?
That's my affair.
Is he married already?
I wish you'd leave me alone.
Is he?
Yes, he is. Now, are you satisfied?
Oh, Queenie. You're an awful fool.
Who are you calling a fool? People can't help their feelings.
No, but they can have enough sense not to let their feelings get the better of them. What you're doing is wrong, whichever way you look at it. There's your mother and father to start with. It'll break their hearts if ever they find out about it. And then there's the man's wife, whoever she is. You're laying up trouble there. But most important of all, there's you. You won't get much out of it in the long run, and don't you fool yourself. You're not that kind of girl, really, whatever you may think.
Well, thanks very much for the lecture.
Oh, you're quite right. It's no good me saying any more.
I'll go up and talk to Reg. Goodbye. And good luck.
Hello, Billy dear. Oh, Mrs. Goodman. Oh. Oh, we'll
Brian, Sam ought to be here by now.
Oh, dear. These boots are giving me what for, all right. Oh. If they're like this now, what are they going to be like by the evening?
Well, a couple of weddings in 1 year is a bit too much of a good thing, if you ask me.
Well, he's hoping you get off soon and make the third.
I wish you wouldn't say things like that, Dad. It sounds so vulgar.
You're very sorry, I'm sure.
Well, I'll never be a bridesmaid again, anyhow, as long as I live. Look at this dress and the hat.
Oh, you've done something to it, haven't you?
You bet I have. I wouldn't have worn it as it was.
Oh, you'll look different from all the others.
Oh, I should hope.
Marjorie will be upset. She and Phil took such a lot of trouble.
Well, they don't know anything about clothes, either of them.
Oh.
Thank heaven, none of the girls at the shop can see me looking such a sight.
Seems to me they must be a pretty fancy lot, them girls at your shop. We're always being told what they like and what they don't like.
Right, Dad, there's no need to be sarcastic.
And don't snap at your father, Queenie. I don't know what's come over you lately.
Nothing's come over me. I just don't like looking common.
Oh, I shouldn't worry about that if I was you. It can't be helped. After all, according to some people's standards, I suppose you are common.
Frank, how can you say such a thing? She's nothing of the sort.
No, it's your mother's fault, really, you know. She caught me on the op. I was all set to marry a duchess when along she came and busted up the whole thing with her fatal charm.
You think you're very funny, don't you, Dad?
No, I think you're the one that's funny, if you must know.
Why? What have I done?
It isn't what you've done, my girl. It's what you're trying to do.
Oh, and what's that, may I
you're
ask?
You're trying to be something you're not. There's nothing funnier than that. To see you flouncing about and putting on airs just because you happen to have polished Lady Kiss-me-quick's nails is enough to make her cat laugh.
You don't believe in people trying to better themselves, do you? Just because you're content to stick in the same place all your life and do your bit of gardening on Saturday afternoons in your shirt...
Don't you dare speak to your father like that!
Doing your own cooking and washing up may be good enough for you, but it isn't good enough for me. I'm sick of this house and everybody in it, and I'm not going to stand it much longer, you see!
You are a wicked, ungrateful girl, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, I'm not. So there.
A few years ago, we had Reg nagging at us because we were living on the fat of the land while the poor workers were starving. Now we have Queenie turning on us because we're not grand enough for her. I don't know what's wrong with our children, Ethel. Seems to me Bi's the only one who's got any real sense.
Oh, Bi. Bi's different from me, can't you see? She always has been. She doesn't like the things I like or want the things I want. She's perfectly happy in that mangy little flat, doing her own housework and making her own clothes. She likes bossing Sam, too. Why, he's a changed man since he married her.
So I should hope.
Yeah.
It seems to me that all the spirit's gone out of him. He's just like anybody else now. Just respectable.
Well, what's the matter with that?
Oh, nothing. What's the use of arguing? You don't understand what I'm talking about.
Well, don't
about.
Waste your breath on us then, Queenie. We're as we are, and that's how we're going to stay. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. And one of these days, when you know a bit more, you'll find out that there are worse things than being ordinary and respectable and living the way you've been brought up to live. In the meantime, as long as you're with us, I mean, your mum and me would be much obliged if you'd keep your tongue between your teeth and behave yourself. Now, you better go upstairs, slap some more paint on your face, make yourself look as much like a tart as possible, and do the girls at the shop credit. Now, go on, hop it.
Oh, there now. She'll be snapping our heads off for the rest of the day.
We spoiled her when she was little. We've always spoiled her.
No, Frank, it isn't only that. She's upset about something. Sort of strung up. She has been for a long time. I wish I knew what it was.
What, you mean you think she's in some sort of trouble?
Well, I don't know what to think. When Billy came back last year and they went out together nearly every evening, I thought everything was going to be all right. Then they had words. I don't know what about, I'm sure. And off he went.
Oh, don't worry, old girl. It'll all come out in the wash.
The car's come. Oh. It looks ever so nice all done up with white ribbons.
Oh, good, good.
I suppose we ought to be starting then.
Yeah, feeling nervous, Sam?
Yeah, a bit.
Oh,
cheer up, Mother.
Oh, I can't hardly believe it. It's only the other day.
All right, Mum, we know all about that. I was only a little toddler, cut me first teeth, and look at me now, great grown man. I'll see you at church, Mum. Cheerio, Dad.
Cheerio, Sam.
Go on, Billy.
Don't forget to send the car straight back.
Oh, I'll see to that. It'll be back in 5 minutes.
Right, good.
Goodbye.
All right.
Bye.
Oh, come on now, come off it, Ethel. There's nothing to cry about.
Well, he's our only son, isn't he? It's enough to make any woman cry.
Well, they'll be back from the honeymoon in 2 weeks and living just round the corner.
It's all very fine for you. You didn't bring him into the world and hold him at your breast.
Well, I should have looked a proper fool if I had.
Oh, you're impossible.
If I could lay my hands on that cat, I'd kill it.
Dear, dear, dear.
Half an hour it took me to pick the hairs off my outfit.
Oh, dear,
and the
dear,
front
dear,
of the
dear.
Skirt all creased too.
It doesn't show.
Oh, well. Oh, is that the new hat we've heard so much about, Sylvia?
Yes, it is.
Ah.
Morning, all.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
hello. The door was open to come and meet us, came straight in.
Why, Vi, how pretty you look, dear.
Yes, you only finished it at 11 o'clock last night.
The old flat's been covered in paper patterns and bits of stuff and pins for the last 10 days.
Your dress looks nice, Queenie, doesn't it, Sam?
Very nice indeed.
I think it's awful.
You always say that, Queenie. It was exactly the same at my wedding.
On my wedding day, there was a thunderstorm, and a man got struck by lightning just opposite the church.
Oh, that must have cheered things up.
The side of his face was all twisted.
That car ought to be here soon.
Oh, don't pass at all.
It seems only yesterday.
What does, Mother?
The day you and Frank was married. I can see your poor Aunt Connie now, coughing her heart out in the vestry. Mm-hmm. It was only 3 months after that that she was taken.
That's right, that's right.
Oh, I've been lucky if I lost out another year.
On with the bloody motley.
I don't suppose anybody'd mind much. There's many as might say it was a blessing in disguise.
Now then, Mother, none of that.
Dr. Spearman said my heart was thoroughly worn out ever since that bronchitis I had in February.
Dr. Spearman?
Well, he's better than your Dr. Lewis any day of the week. If it hadn't been for him having presence of mind, Mrs. Spooner would be dead as a doornail at this very minute.
That's what you say.
11 o'clock she was doing her shopping, and she was putting the joint in the oven at 12. And nice little bit of leg of lamb it was, too. And at our past one, she was in the hospital, lying flat on her back on the operating table. And if it hadn't been for Dr. Spearman...
I wonder what's happened to that car. The time's getting on.
Well, if it comes to the pinch, we can walk anyway, can't we? It's only just up the road.
Why oughtn't to do much walking?
Don't be silly, Sam. It's months off yet.
All the same, it's silly to go taking risks.
No, it's nearly 10:00. I think I'd better go.
Oh, I wish everybody had stopped fussing. It gives me the pip.
It shouldn't have taken Reg and Billy more than 3 or 4 minutes to get there.
I'm sure I hope nothing dreadful's happened to them.
Oh, Granny, what could have?
Accidents will happen.
Well, they can't have been struck by lightning, anyhow.
Some people seem to think of nothing but horrors. It's morbid, that's what it is.
Oh, thank you not to call me names, Sylvia Gibbons.
You make me tired.
Don't answer back, Sylvia. It'll only mean a row.
Well, I'm sure I don't want to say anything to anybody, but really.
Pity you don't keep quiet, then.
Oh, you to talk to me like that. I've had about enough of your nagging.
Shut up, Sylvia.
No good arguing with her, Auntie.
Don't know any such thing. I tell you, I'm sick of it. Morning, noon and night, it's the same thing. She's at me all the time, and I won't stand it. No. I've got as much right to be in this house as she has, just because she's old and pretends her heart's weak. She thinks she can say what she likes. But I'll tell you one thing here and now, and that is I've had enough trouble and sorrow and suffering in my life to put up with her eternal nagging and nasty insinuations. She's nothing but a spiteful, mischief-making old cat. And if I have any more of it, oh, she is, I'll stab her face and put her teeth right off.
Come on, Mother. Time to go to church. Take her to the outside one, Vi. There's no need to trail all the way upstairs. Ready, old girl?
Ready.
One month later, it is now November 1931, midnight.
God, there are poor sailors on a night like this.
Where's the light?
It's out over by the door. Lucky the French window was open. We'd have woken up if we'd come in by the front.
Here we are.
Right. Now then.
Now then what?
One more nightcap.
You won't have to have a thick head in the morning.
Well, what about you?
I'm Paul's carry, old man.
That's right. Now, Sue in.
Go easy.
There we are. Now, I would like to take this auspicious opportunity of saying that my old regiment is the finest in the world.
Next to the East Surreys, it is.
Here's to the Buffs.
Here's to the East Surreys.
Bob, the East Surreys is the finest regiment in the world, too.
That's right.
Heard from Billy lately?
Yes, he writes once a week. He's in Malta now.
Good old Billy, he's a fine boy.
You know, I've never said much about it, but I always thought that maybe Billy and Queenie might one day...
Oh, Queenie gives me a headache, all her airs and graces. Good hiding, that's what she needs.
No, that wouldn't do any use.
It's funny, isn't it? You know, about having children, seeing what they grow up like.
Well, it's a strange world, no mistake.
Yeah.
I was thinking that tonight.
Mm.
Looking at all those chaps in your regiment.
Mm.
Wondering what they were feeling like. Some of them looked all right, of course. Some looked a bit under the weather.
Yeah, we've been lucky.
You said it.
I wonder when the next war will be.
Not in our time, nor in our son's time, thank God.
I wouldn't bank on that.
How could that be? Everybody's disarmed.
Well, we are.
There's the good old League of Nations.
It doesn't seem able to stop Japan turning nasty.
Japan? Who cares about Japan? It's a nice long way off, for one thing.
Of course, I know. If they really start behaving badly, all we've got to do is send a couple of battleships along and scare the little sods out of their wits.
That's right.
All the same.
We've got the finest navy in the world, and don't you forget it. And we've got a nice new government now, and everything in the garden's lovely.
Here's hoping. Stanley Baldwin.
Ramsay MacDonald. Ah. Well... I'll have to be pushing off home in a minute.
No, no, have one more before you go.
Now, listen, Frankie boy. We're up to the gills already.
No, just a little one for the road.
The road? I only got about 3 yards to go. That's enough.
Oh, good, now you've done it. Here. Quiet a minute. Listen.
Come on. Pull yourself together. We're for it.
Yeah, right. Chest out. Chin up. Attention.
And what do you think you're doing, if I may make so bold?
Bob was just going home.
Oh, just going home, was he?
Yes.
Sorry we woke you up, Ethel.
What was that you dropped?
The poor old John Hague.
I suppose you know what the time is, don't you?
Time was meant for sleeves.
Now, you go up to bed, Frank Gibbons. I'll have something to say to you later.
It was my fault, Ethel.
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves, both of you men of your age, coming home drunk and waking up the whole house. Now, go on, Bob. It's time you went home.
All right. I can take a hint. Good night, Mrs. G. Good night, Sergeant.
Good night, Hopper.
It's been a pleasure. Steady the buck.
Next time you go to a regimental dinner, you can go to a hotel afterwards and sleep it off. Now go on, get up to bed, and don't make a noise either. What's that?
What's what?
It's a letter on the mantelpiece.
I haven't written no letters.
Queenie's writing.
Yeah. No, you can't read your girl's private letters.
It's addressed to you and me.
Well, I'll be damned.
She's gone. Read it.
Who's this man? You ever seen him?
Oh.
I'll fetch her back. I'll give her the hiding of her life.
You can't find her. She doesn't say where she's gone.
We love each other. His wife won't divorce him. Can't live without each other, so we're going away. It's our fault. We might have known something like this would happen. We let her have her own way too much ever since she was a child. Queenie. We'll trace her, all right. Don't you worry. We can find out who the man is through the shop. It must have been there she met him. We'll get her back.
I don't want her back. She's no child of mine. I don't ever want to see her again as long as I live.
Oh, no, don't say that, Ethel.
I mean it. I've done my best to bring her up to behave respectable, to be a good girl, but it hasn't been any use.
If she loves this man all that much, maybe it was too strong for her. Maybe she couldn't help herself.
You don't see what she's done the same way as I do, do you?
I don't know.
You and me never have quite seen eye to eye about what's right and what's wrong. You'd have her back tomorrow if she'd come, wouldn't you? But I wouldn't. You've always encouraged her and told her how clever she was and let her twist you round her little finger.
All I've done is try laughing at her instead of scolding her.
Well, you've got something to laugh at now, haven't you?
You can't stop loving the girl. even if she has done wrong?
I can try.
I've never seen you like this before. You're hard as nails, aren't you?
What do you expect me to be?
I don't know. Suppose you never cared for Queenie as much as you did the other two.
It's not fair to say that.
It's true, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. She's always been the most trouble, that's true enough, and she certainly never put herself out to try and help me like Rye has, that's true too. But I've cared for her just as much as the others, and don't you start saying I haven't. No use trying to lay the blame for this at my door. What she's done on her own, and I'll never forgive her for it until the end of my days.
Well, if you feel like that, it's not much good talking about it, is it?
Will you turn out, or shall I?
Ethel.
I'm going back to bed now. You might put the bottle of whiskey back in the sideboard before you come up.
Oh, Quinn.
Six months later, 4:30 on a fine afternoon in May 1932.
Why's she been late so early?
Because Frank's taking us to the Majestic.
Oh, we should suddenly turn that radio off. It's getting on my nerves.
And we'll have it playing all day just because Reg gave it to us.
Woo-hoo. Well, the skies will fall next, I shouldn't wonder. You doing something I asked you without grumbling.
Now then, Mrs. Flint, don't start.
I must say, having a steady job at the library's done you a lot of good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you're not so touchy as you used to be, flying off at the least thing.
Oh, I'm very glad, I'm sure.
It was a lucky day for all of us when you met that Mrs. Wilmot.
I don't know to what you're referring.
I was only saying it was a good thing you meeting that Mrs. Wilmot.
Perhaps you'd rather have me the way I was before, not sleeping a wink at night and suffering and being in error.
In what?
Error.
Oh, so that's what it was.
And you needn't sneer at Mrs. Wilmot either. She's a wonderful woman.
She must be, to make you believe there wasn't anything the matter with you. That's what I've been saying for years.
How long before tea's ready?
About 5 minutes.
Right, telephone will start without Miss Sylvia. I've got one more bed to weed.
Frank's been a changed man since Queenie went.
I haven't noticed much difference.
Do you think she'll ever come back?
She'll get a piece of my mind if she does. Bringing disgrace on all of us.
Frank had a letter from her the other day.
How do you know?
I recognise the handwriting.
Think he told Ethel?
Not very likely. She doesn't let him mention her name if she can help it. It had a French stamp.
Oh, disgusting.
What's disgusting?
Oh, gracious, Ethel. What a start you gave me.
What was disgusting?
A French stamp.
A French stamp? What are you talking about?
We were talking about the letter Frank had from Queenie.
Oh, were you? It's a pity that Christian Science of yours hasn't taught you to mind your own business, among other things, Sylvia.
Well, I'm sure I don't know what I've done.
You know perfectly well I won't have Queenie's name spoken in this house. She's gone her own way, and that's that. She doesn't belong here anymore. Now, where's Frank?
In the garden. He started weeding another bed.
Tea's ready.
We said we were to begin without him. You coming to the table, Mrs. Flint, or shall I bring it over to you?
I'll stay here. The less I open my mouth, the better.
Yes, Sylvia. Take it over to her.
Bread and butter?
No, thank you.
I wish Frank had come in. We shall be late next thing we know.
Why not take a cup of tea to him? He never eats much, anyhow.
It's nearly 5:30 now.
I'll take it if you like.
No, I will. Once he starts weeding, he'd go on all night if we let him.
No, I wonder who that is.
It might be Reg and Phil. It
can't be. They've gone to Seven Oaks with them, friends of theirs.
Mum and Dad.
In the garden.
Take Granny upstairs.
What?
There's been an accident. Sweg and Phil, I've got to tell Mum and Dad.
What's that?
What sort of an accident? What happened?
They were in Reggie's car, and a lorry came out of a turning.
Are they badly hurt?
They're dead.
Oh, my God.
Please, take Granny upstairs. I must tell them alone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
4 years have passed. It is just after 10 o'clock in the evening of the 10th of December, 1936.
And now, we all have a new king. I wish him and you, his people, happiness and prosperity with all my heart. God bless you all. God save the king.
Well, that's that. Funny to think that that's been listened to all over the world. Where's Ethel?
In the kitchen, I think.
I wish you'd get someone in to help her. I've tried to make her, but she won't.
Not so much to do since Mrs. Flint passed on.
Oh, I do wish you wouldn't talk like that, Sylvia. Sounds so soft.
I don't know what you mean, I'm sure.
Mother died, see? First of all, she got flu, and that turned to pneumonia, and the strain of that affected her heart, which was none too strong at the best of times, and she died. Nothing to do with passing on at all.
How do you know?
I admit it's only your spiritual way of talking, but it gets me down. Safe.
What are you shouting
about? I'm not shouting about anything at all. I'm merely explaining to Sylvia that Mother died. She didn't pass on or pass over or pass out. She died.
I think I'll go up to bed now, Ethel. Mm.
All right, dear.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Sylvia.
Oh, dear.
Vi was looking a bit peaky this evening.
She's worried about Joan being a bit off colour, I think.
No, she'll be all right. Remember the trouble we had with Queenie when she was tiny? Sorry, I forgot.
You're lucky.
You are a funny woman, Ethel, and no mistake.
I expect I am. Whereas God made us and there's nothing to be done about it.
Well, all I can say is he might have done a better job on some people without straining himself.
How often have I told you I won't have you talking like that?
No, I wasn't meaning you.
I don't care who you was meaning. If you don't believe in anything yourself, you can at least have the decency to spare the feelings of them as do.
As a matter of fact, I believe in a whole lot of things.
Well, that's nice to know.
And one of them is that being bitter about anybody isn't a good thing. Let alone if it happens to be your own daughter.
I'm not bitter. I just don't think of her anymore, that's all.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't believe.
Well, don't let's talk about it, shall we? Why did you have a nice read of the paper?
Oh, that'll be Bob.
Oh, now I can get on with me, darling.
Well, here's a surprise. Billy.
Hello, Mr. Gibbons. Mrs. Gibbons.
Why, Billy! I'd no idea you was back.
I've got a couple of weeks' leave. I've been transferred from a cruiser to a destroyer.
Oh, do you like that?
You bet I do.
Like a drink?
No, thanks, sir. Just had one with Dad.
Is he coming in?
Yes, I think so. A bit later on.
He must be glad you're back. It must be lonely for him in that house all by himself since your mother was taken.
Nora died, Ethel. Nobody took her.
But you ought to be ashamed talking like that in front of Billy.
Oh, it was a blessed release, really, you know, Mrs. Gibbons. With one thing and another. She'd been bedridden so long.
Would you like me to go make you a cup of tea? It won't take a minute.
No, thanks, Mrs. Gibbons. There's something I want to talk to you about, as a matter of fact. Both of you.
All right, son, what is it?
I feel a bit awkward, really. I wanted Dad to come with me and back me up, but he wouldn't.
Man of your age hanging on to his father's coattails. Never heard of such a thing. Oh, what have you been up to?
What is it, Billy?
It's about Queenie.
What about her?
Does it still make you angry, even to hear her name?
I'm not angry.
Have you seen her, Billy?
Yes, I've seen her.
How is she?
Fine.
Well, what is it you wanted to say about Queenie, Billy?
I sympathise with how you feel, Mrs. Gibbons. I really do. And what's more, she does too. She knows what a wrong she did. She hasn't had too good a time, you know. In fact, she's been through a good deal. He left her, the man she went off with, Major Blunt, after about a year. He went back to his wife. He left Queenie stranded in a sort of boarding house in Brussels.
How soon was it before she found another man to take her on?
Ethel.
A long time. Over 3 years.
She's all right now, then, isn't she?
Yes. She's all right now.
What sort of a bad time did she have? How do you mean?
Well, trying to earn a living for herself. Getting in and out of different jobs.
By the time she had her little money saved and was coming home to England, she got ill with appendicitis and was taken to hospital.
Where? How long ago?
Oh, Paris. About a year ago. Then, when she was in the hospital, she picked up with an old Scots woman who was in the next bed, and a little while later, the two of them started an old English tea room in Menton in the south of France. You know, just for the English visitors. And that's where I ran into her, by accident. We were doing a summer cruise, and the ship I was in laid off there.
Is she there now?
No. She isn't there now.
Where is she then?
She's here.
Here?
How do you mean here?
Next door. With Dad.
Billy!
We were married last week in a registry office in Plymouth.
Married?
I've always loved her, you know. I always said I'd wait for her.
Oh, Sam. I can't believe it. Oh, Sam.
You'll forgive her now, won't you, Mrs. Gibbons?
I don't seem to have any choice, do I?
I always thought you'd like to have me for a son.
Better late than never. Well, that's what it is, isn't it? Better late than never. Oh, dear.
Shall I get you a little nip or something?
Please, no. No.
Here you are.
Thanks, love.
Come on, quickly. Come in.
Hello, Mum. So you've come back, have you? You bad girl. Yes, Mum. That's a nice way to behave, I must say. Upset you like this.
Nearly 2 years pass. It is now September the 30th, 1938, at about 9 o'clock in the evening.
I always knew it, you know, Vi.
Always knew what, Auntie Sue?
That there wouldn't be a war.
Well, I thought there would, I must say. Otherwise, I shouldn't have sent Sheila and Joan down to Mrs. Marsh in Dorset.
Your mother was worried, too, about Queenie and little Frankie, but I wasn't. Neither was Mrs. Wilmot.
Fancy that.
Mrs. Wilmot laughed outright, you know, when the woman came to try on a gas mask. Take that stupid thing away, she said. The woman was furious.
I'm not surprised.
Mrs. Wilmot is a very remarkable woman.
She sounds a bit silly to me.
It shows a very small mind to talk like that, Vi. Your very life has been saved at this moment by the triumph of right thinking over wrong thinking.
Well, that's nice.
I've often thought Mr. Chamberlain must be a Christian scientist at heart.
Well, let's hope that Hitler and Mussolini are too, and then we shall all be on velvet.
Now, what are you two looking so glum about?
We were talking about Mr. Chamberlain. Auntie Sill says she thinks he must be a Christian scientist.
Hmm. That might account for a lot. Where's your mother?
Upstairs with Queenie and his lordship.
Did you see anything of the crowds?
Yes, I did.
We heard him arrive at the airport on the radio.
So did I.
Sam's meeting me at the Strand Corner House a little later on. We thought we'd have a look at the West End. It ought to be exciting.
Well, it's exciting, all right. If you like to see a lot of people yelling themselves hoarse without the faintest idea what they're yelling about.
How can you, Frank? They're cheering because we've been saved from war.
I'll cheer about that when it's proved to me.
You wouldn't care if there was another war. Just because you enjoyed yourself in the last one.
Now, listen here, Sylvia. Don't you talk to me like that because I won't have it, see? I did not enjoy myself in the last war. Nobody but a bloody fool without any imagination would ever say that he did. But what I would say is this. I've seen something today that I wouldn't have believed could happen in this country. I've seen thousands of people, English people, mark you, carrying on like maniacs, shouting and cheering with relief for no other reason but that they've been thoroughly frightened. And it makes me sick, and that's a fact. And I only hope to God that we shall have guts enough to learn one lesson from this, and that we shall never find ourselves in a position again when we have to appease anybody.
All you men think about is having guts and being top dog and killing each other. I'm a woman. And I don't care how much we appease as long as we don't have a war. War is wicked and evil and vile. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
I don't think it's more blessed to give in and receive a nice kick on the bottom for doing it.
You two stop shouting, you wake up Frankie.
He's a warmonger, that's all he is, a warmonger.
Judging by the heavy way you're breathing, Sylvia, I should say you was in error.
Oh, you're no brother of mine. I don't want to speak to you ever again.
What's the use of arguing with her, Frank? You know it never does any good.
She started it, Mother. She was ever so silly. She's getting sillier and sillier every day.
Don't you talk about your Aunt Sylvia like that.
Dear old Mum.
I'm 35, you know, not 15.
I don't care if you're 105. I won't have you being saucy to your Aunt Sylvia. Or to me, either, for that matter.
What about Dad?
I can be saucy to him.
Oh, get on with you, Miss Sharp.
I'm just going anyhow. I'm picking up Sam. We're going to see the crowds. Sorry, Dad.
You can cheer your head off for all I care. Why don't you take a squeaker with you?
Maybe I will.
Not all.
Night, bye.
Good night. How's Queenie?
Oh, she's all right. You think nobody'd ever had a baby before? All the fuss we've had the last month.
She got up too soon.
So, she had a letter from Billy this afternoon. He wants her to go out there after Christmas, all being well.
Baby won't be old enough to travel.
Well, she'll leave him here.
What, with us?
Of course. Oh, don't be so silly. Who else would she leave it with?
Well, that'll be fine, won't it?
Oh, fine for you, maybe. You won't have to look after it. Go on upstairs and say goodnight to her before she drops off.
I'm expecting Bob to come in and have a farewell binge, so give me a shout when he comes.
Binge indeed. One small one's all you're going to have, my lad, if I have to come down and take the bottle away from you.
I'd like to see you try.
Hello, Ethel.
Oh, evening, Bob. Frank's just saying goodnight to Queenie. He'll be down in a minute.
What a week. What with the crisis and the sandbags and me having to pack up all the furniture into the bargain.
Yes, that's most of it gone.
Yes, went this afternoon. I'm sleeping on a camp bed tonight.
Oh, Frank will miss you. Well, so shall I.
You'll both come down and see me, won't you?
Oh, of course we will, Bob. See, I've often wondered why you stayed so long in that house all by yourself.
Oh, I don't know. It was near you and Frank, and it was somewhere for Billy to come home to.
You feel a bit lost, I expect, living in the country.
Well, I shall have my garden. A damn sight nicer one than I've got here. And there's a sea nearby and the village pub.
We'll come down and see you soon. I'll go and tell Frank you're here.
Righto.
Bob's here.
Bye. Well, he's back. Umbrella and all.
Yes.
Let's have a drink. I'm feeling a bit low, what with one thing and another. Only one good thing's happened.
What's that?
If Queenie goes out to Singapore after Christmas, we're taking charge of the kid.
Oh, I thought you'd get him.
Well, you couldn't have had him, could you? All alone by the South Sea waves.
All right, all right. No hard feelings.
Here goes.
Happy days.
Remember the first night we moved in? When we had Sylvia's wind calming?
Oh, that's going back a bit.
Nearly 20 years.
And here we are, just the same.
Are we?
Well, no. I suppose we're not.
It's a strange world. All them years. All the things that happened in them. I wouldn't go back over them again for all the rice in China, would you?
Not on your life.
I wonder what happens to rooms when people give them up, go away and leave the house empty.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I was just thinking about you going away from next door after all that time and me and Ethel going away too pretty soon. I shouldn't think we'll stay on here much longer. I'm wondering what the next people that live in this room would be like. Yeah, whether they'll feel any bits of us left about the place.
Yeah. Shut up. You're giving me the willies.
Funny you're going to live just near where I was born.
It's about 11 miles, isn't it?
Oh, less than that if you go by the Marsh Road. I'll probably come back there one day, I hope. That is, if I can get round Ethel. She hates the country.
I suppose it's all according to what you used to.
You don't think the Germans will ever get here, do you?
No. Of course I don't.
I'm going to miss you a hell of a lot.
Same here. You'll be coming down, though, won't you?
You bet.
Here's to you, old pal.
Here's to you, old pal.
Nine months later,
A warm summer's evening, June 1939.
Mom?
Yes, dear?
Have to be getting along now.
All right, dear.
I brought the pram in. Has it been good?
Good as gold. I gave him the postcard Queenie sent him with a camel on it. He liked it.
Oh, he's dropped off now.
There's nothing more I can do to help, is there?
Oh, no thanks, dear. Everything's done now. They're coming for the rest of the stuff in the morning. I'm just getting a bit of supper ready for your dad and me. We're going to walk round to the flat afterwards.
I do hope you like it, Mum.
Well, it's got a nice view of the common, I will say that for it.
You find it easier being on one floor, of course.
Yes, I suppose I will.
They look quite nice to me. Bit modernistic, of course.
Well, that can't be helped.
Dad's enjoying himself with that hammer, isn't he?
The more noise, the better, says Motto.
Dad!
Hello.
Going now.
Righto. See you in the morning.
Night, Mum.
Thank you for coming, dear. Give my love to Sam and the children.
I will. Night.
Good night.
Oh. Hello. Having a breather?
I am that. My back's breaking.
Not as young as you were.
Who are you to talk?
That's his lordship.
Don't wake him up now.
He's dribbling, dirty boy.
Well, I expect you dribbled when you was his age.
Oh, I shall miss that garden.
Well, it's your fault. You're the one that wanted to move.
I know.
You'll have a balcony anyhow. You could put window boxes all round it.
Window boxes. One day, a bit later on, when I stop working, we might get a little place in the country, mightn't we?
When will that be, may I ask?
Oh, I don't know. A few years, I suppose.
Well, we'll think about that when the time comes.
There's a funny thing.
What is?
You'd think taking all the furniture out of a room would make it look bigger, but this one looks smaller.
I shall be glad when we're out of it.
So shall I. Sorry, too, though, in a way.
Well, I must go and get on with the supper.
Wait. Now, I don't mind how many flats we move into, or where we go, or what we do. As long as I've got you.
Don't talk so silly.
Hello, Cot. So, you've decided to wake up, have you? Well, Frankie boy, now I wonder what you're going to turn out like. Now, there's nobody here to interrupt us, so we can talk as man to man, can't we? There's not much to worry about, really, so long as you remember one or two things, always. The first thing is that life isn't all jam for anybody. And you've got to have trouble of some kind or another, whoever you are. But if you don't let it get you down, however bad it is, you won't go far wrong. And another thing you'd better get into that little bullet head of yours is that you belong to something that nobody can't ever break. However much they try. And they'll try, all right, they're trying now. Not only people in other countries who want to do us in, but people here in England. People who've let themselves get soft and afraid. People who go on a lot about peace and goodwill and the ideals they believe in, but somehow don't seem to believe in them enough to think they're worth fighting for. And the trouble with the world is, Frankie, that there are too many ideals and too little horse sense. We're human beings, we are. All of us. And that's what people are liable to forget. Human beings don't like peace and goodwill, everybody loving everybody else. Human beings like eating and drinking and loving and hating. They also like showing off, grabbing all they can, fighting for their rights, and bossing anybody or giving them half a chance. And you belong to a race that's been bossy for years. And the reason it's held on as long as it has is that 9 times out of 10 it's behaved decently and treated people right. Just lately, I admit, we've been giving at the knees a bit, and letting people down who trusted us, allowing noisy little men to bully us with lots of guns and bombs and aeroplanes, but don't worry, that won't last. The people themselves, The ordinary people like you and me, we know something better than all the fussy old politicians put together. We know what we belong to, where we come from, and where we're going. We may not know it with our brains, but we know it with our roots. And we know another thing too, and it's this. We haven't lived and died and struggled all these hundreds of years to get decency and justice and freedom for ourselves without being prepared to fight 50 wars if need be, to keep them.
What in the world are you doing? Talking to yourself?
I wasn't talking to myself. I was talking to Frankie.
Well, I'm sure I hope he enjoyed it.
And he stopped dribbling anyhow.
Come on, supper's ready.
So long, Sam.
In This Happy Breed by Noel Coward, John Moffat played Frank Gibbons, Rosemary Leach, Ethel, Doris Hare, Mrs. Flint, Robert Lang, Bob Mitchell, Anna Cropper, Sylvia, Michael Maloney, Billy, Alice Arnold, Queenie, Julia Swift, Vi, Simon Treves, Sam, John McAndrew, Reg, and Elizabeth Mansfield, Phyllis. This Happy Breed was directed by Glyn Dearman.